Additionally, I just want to comment that Cheryl is going to be missing in action for a while. You know, our daughter's been in school since she's three. She's 29 and a half. And we have not had the joy of smacking her around since she left for college 11 years ago. And so Cheryl is making up for that. And Nicole is moving to New Bern from Orlando. And we were there for her residency graduation in pediatrics. And she had just come off three straight 95-hour weeks working midnights. And she had shark bites and a nine-year-old hit by lightning and car wrecks and just all that stuff. So she was kind of tired when we got there. Cheryl's flying back today to help with the move that occurs at 6 a.m. in the morning. And they'll be going to New Bern and back and forth now, probably until she starts to work on the 20th of July. So anyway, don't worry about my marriage is what my point, because I know this is a small town. You know, where's Cheryl been? I don't blame it. I wouldn't put up with him either. And he's just my preacher. I never, anyway. So if you will, if you please, in my humble opinion. I'm working on a new one, by the way, and that is, be that as it may. Take notes. Be that as it may. Let's pray. Father, help us today in our weakness to experience your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. In looking at the Mark passage today, this is a lectionary sermon. We know the story. Jesus is walking through a crowd. Remember the story? He's walking through a crowd. Somebody reaches out and touches his garment and is healed. I want to touch on that today because that's actually inserted in this text. It's not chronological at all. The events of this chapter, this is one of those stories that Jesus throws in there, Mark throws in there for a purpose. He says here in verse 30 of chapter 5 of Mark, if you want to turn there, with me, he says, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and said, who touched my clothing? You see, the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and trembled with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. And then, of course, the story goes on to talk about the little girl who had died, and Jesus said, not to worry, she'll be fine. It's that resurrection of the little girl. There's a lot in this passage that often is not understood, and I can understand why. Because, first of all, the question would be, is God know everything? Well, of course he does. The question, who touched me, is a rhetorical question. He's not saying, fill in the blanks, I don't know what's going on. That's not it at all. He's wanting the people in the crowd to understand what's going on. You see, he wants them to know that this lady who has had this disease has reached up and touched his garment. Now, having said that, I want us to understand point one of my outline today, my cliff notes. Point one is faith is an action verb. You know, when people say they believe, that what does that mean? Faith, and I've said this before, if you go to the Gospel of John in particular, in the Gospel of John, the word faith as a noun does not occur. Isn't that fascinating? Doesn't occur as a noun. It occurs, I think, 94 times as a verb in one sense or another. And the verb is usually translated believe or receive, which is what you find in John 1 when it says believe and receive on his name. In the same verse 12, to as many as believe in him, to those who have received him, he calls the children of God. So believe and receive are the same verb tense of the noun. And I find it just fascinating that the noun faith is not found in John of all Gospels. Faith is a verb. And of course, James carries that forward in another way when he says, faith without works is a dead faith. It's not a non-existent faith. It is, for all practical purposes and intents, useless if it's not being manifested in our lives. That's all James is saying. Well, in John 1, it says, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to be called the children of God. And then the Mark passage goes on and says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. I could have so much fun with that passage. If I just go to church and do all the right things, I'll be healed. If I just, right? Is that not a pattern very familiar to many of us? We play the if-only game. You know, and I love it in The Wizard of Oz, if I only had a, and fill in the blank, brain, heart, courage, courage. I think it's important to understand that many of us, many Christians, would you please forgive me in advance? Is that the other one? Did I leave that one out a little bit ago? How did I leave the best one out? I thought the best one was In My Humble Opinion, but I've been corrected on that one. We have, pardon me again, often Christians have Jesus as the rabbit's foot on the mirror of their soul in their car, thinking that if I just have faith and do all the right things, I'm exempted from trouble. And when trouble comes, they are devastated, because all of a sudden it's just back to square one, which says, what did I do to deserve this, right? Or is the other shoe going to drop? Now, let me say this about our friend here in Mark 5. And you and I don't get this unless you understand the background and history of this text. Here's the deal. She came from a world of magic and witchcraft and divination. And she believed that there was power in the very clothing that Jesus had on, so that if she just simply touched his garment, she would be delivered. And Jesus shoots that down when he says, lady, your faith has made you well. Touching my garment has nothing to do with it. She's approaching in two worlds, because her background was such that she believed in the Greek / Roman / pagan theology of her day. Now, I'm going to take this to another level, and some of you are going to get mad. When a TV preacher says, for $100, we'll send you a prayer cloth, and if you hold on to it, you're going to be healed. Friends, that's not much different than what she's saying right here in this passage of Scripture. I would argue that is a form of modern-day divination. It is not the power of a clothing piece of cloth that saves anybody. Or we would sing the song, He Touched Me, in a totally different way. Faith, look at this, he says, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt, in her body. Something had happened. And once again, look at the word felt. Is it up there? It's the word felt. She felt in her body. That's a bad translation of the word felt. The word there is gnosko. It's know. She knows it. She knows it. She knows it. It's not that she just felt something. She knew it. And the word gnosko means beyond any doubt. Boom! Something happened. Now, that mythology, that divination, that whole Greek-Roman magical world was not new then. It's not new now. Do you not remember what the magicians of Egypt did to demonstrate and to duplicate the miracles of Moses? Everything that happens that appears to be good is not good. And I would argue, by the way, from this passage and others, that not all healing comes from God. It might, in fact, not. Woo, got quiet in here then. And then secondly, she said that she was freed. And the word freed there connotes two things. It's actually a word that means she was saved. She was delivered from the disease, and he links, now not only is she delivered from her disease, she has eternal life because she what? Believed. Your faith has made you well. Wow. Now, does this hit home or not in terms of our cultural rabbit's foot Christianity? If I send that TV evangelist $100, he'll give me $1,000. Meganoita. May it never be. Secondly, faith is initiative. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his clothing, I'll be healed. Who touched my clothes? She took some initiative. She took a step forward. She understood. Now, she's living in two worlds. She is immersed in a world that says magic is the key. And she's immersed in a world where she's seeing this stranger called Jesus who is touching other people's lives. And you know she's bound to be confused. But in her confusion, what does she do? Exactly the right thing. Friends, in the world in which we live today, we are surrounded by confusion. How many of us have ever said, boy, I wish the church was like it was in the New Testament? Anybody ever said that? Well, let me just say this. Our culture is getting very close to being like the culture of the New Testament. It really is. And if Jesus can turn Jerusalem upside down and see thousands of people come to faith, is it possible that in a dark culture that the light shines brighter? Why are we scared? What do we have to fear in terms of our culture? Do you know that how many of you remember Brzezinski in Russia? Remember him way back a long time ago? You know, he made the statement that they were going to loosen up on the persecution of the church in Russia because it was making the church thrive. Wow. Faith is initiative. Faith is risky. We live by faith and not by sight. How is it risky to trust God? How is it risky? It's risky. I have seen people's careers hurt by putting God first. It's risky to be righteous. I've told this story before. I had a kid in one of my churches that's my size, played football on a high school football team. And he made a profession of faith during role play in a youth group. Role play. And I'm role playing with this kid, and I said, this seems real to me. Is it real to you? He said, it is real. In front of 14 kids, he trusted Jesus. And now he's a graduate of a seminary and working as an associate pastor of a big church in Roanoke, Virginia. Amen. But he walked around at school carrying his Bible. He thought God would have him carry his Bible. And one day he's walking. He's a big guy. I mean, he's, like I said, he's big as me. And hopefully I'm getting smaller, but he's big. He was walking around with his Bible, and somebody, four or five football players, cornered him in a hallway, gave him some grief. He turned to one of the big guys in the group, giving him grief, handing him a Bible, said, you think it's easy? You carry it for a day or two. And they never bothered him again. Now, that's wisdom way beyond my pay scale. He was 18 at the time. Well, faith requires obedience. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went even though he did not know where he was going. You see, you and I don't know where the journey is. We don't know where it starts. We know the first step, right? But we're on a journey. And what God, you know, if you want to know God's will for your life 10 years from now, just trust Him today. Just live for Him today. And quit worrying about tomorrow. Isn't it Jesus who said tomorrow has enough concerns of its own? It'll take care of itself. And one of the reasons I find myself sometimes getting anxious is I'm trying to solve tomorrow's difficulties with today's grace. I don't have tomorrow's grace yet. I'll have it when I need it. Faith requires obedience. I've often thought that churches, not ours, some churches have bleachers rather than pews. But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done this. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the truth. As if Jesus didn't know the truth. How many of us have ever, as parents, caught our kids doing something and had to use the old squeeze play to get them to admit what we already knew? I sat in a stare down with Nicole for 3 hours. 3 hours. She had brought me her glasses, and one of the wings wouldn't work. And I said, "Sweetheart, if I mess with it anymore, I'm going to break it." 10 minutes later, she comes in. She says, Daddy, my glasses broke." "How'd they break, honey?" "I don't know. They just broke." And I said, "I'd rather for you to tell me that Max the dog got the ladder out, jumped up the ladder, opened the window, climbed in, and bit them than to tell me they just broke." "No, Daddy, they just broke." Whew. We sat there 3 hours. I said, "Have a seat. When you can tell me what happened, we'll have another conversation." 3 hours. And finally, I said, "Sweetheart, I like to deer hunt. I can sit in a tree 8, 10 hours, not be comfortable a bit. I can see me staying here 2, 3, perhaps 4 days. I was serious. She was not going to win. Any of that sound familiar to husbands? Guys can be pretty hard-headed. Now, it's important to train your children to be hard-headed about the right stuff. Never give them grief for being hard-headed. Praise them for being hard-headed. So at 3 hours, finally I spoke. I said, and she said, "Daddy, I was trying to fix my glasses and I broke them." I said, "Sweetheart, I can't tell you how many times I've tried to fix things and made it worse. That's my gift." I said, "But we just spent 3 hours. We didn't need to." And then I said, "And honey, I want to tell you something so cool. You are so hard-headed and I love it. Because when you come in at 16 years old and you tell me somebody made you do something, I'm going to laugh at you." Hard-headed is a good quality. Faith requires obedience. You don't know where we're going, but once we start, do not look to the left, do not look to the right. My granddaddy taught me how to plow with a hand tiller. Any of you ever done that? That's child abuse. I was plowing one day with this handheld tiller, and I got to the end of the row. My granddaddy came running out, and I had a row that looked like this. It was everywhere. He said, "Son," he was very good. He said, "You see that stake in the ground? Aim at that." I was just having fun tilling. I didn't know, you know. Set your hearts on who Jesus is. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Stay focused. It's kingdom work. Faith is in the present, looking to the future. "Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of this, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Mark says, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." and I would offer you the same benediction. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Amen.